Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Would you turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter? If you've been in this church for any length of time and anybody asks you what's the pastor's favorite scripture, most everybody will know it's Matthew 6 and 33. Because I believe, like the first commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that if you did that, all of the other issues of life are gone. There isn't any other problems. It's the first commandment. Don't have to worry about the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. And Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? All the things that Gentiles seek after. It starts off in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, or what is my retirement going to be, or on and on and on. We're so insecure as people. We're just so afraid that we're not going to have enough, or we're not going to get our fair share. And God's saying, listen, all you have to do is seek me first and my righteousness. And all these other things are going to be added onto you. Things that you couldn't possibly get on your own. Protections and comfort and love. And then would you turn to Exodus, the 5th chapter. I truly am preaching to the choir tonight. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. You see, they were worried if they didn't do what God wanted them to do, there'd be some consequences in their own life. Save people, if you will. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto the burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And then if you go to chapter 10 and verse number 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. We're not going to leave anybody behind. We're not going to leave our kids behind. We're not going to leave our old people behind. In fact, we're not going to leave any of our possessions behind. We're going to have a feast for God. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight, God, that it would affect us. Lord, not that we just hear it, but it would become a part of us. Lord, that it would accomplish exactly what you would have it to do tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you see the similarity between that day and the day that we're living in today? Oh, you say you want off Sunday to go to church? Are you serious? Who are you to get preferential treatment? If you don't want this job, there are plenty of heathens that do. That's the attitude that happens in the world today. We're intimidated by employers and people who make demands on our lives that the Pharaoh made on people way back in Egypt. And God's saying, no, you let my people go. Daniel 7 and 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws." I read an article today about what is called the Emergent Church, and the Emergent Church is a church or a organization that's trying to change what is traditional as far as churchgoers and people. It says they'll have less church, they'll will consider more family time, but not as much church. They won't preach the doctrine like it used to because it might offend somebody, and we want to gather more people rather than press people to do more. And so there is a spirit of that in the world today. We're living in that day, even saints too busy to go to worship. God's forecast it in his word, and we are living in the fulfillment of that day, very similar to the day when Israel was in Egypt. We can't buy into Egypt's economy or sell out to the company store. It'll never be convenient to serve God. Never. Was it easy to get the clothes on and come to church, to warm up the car, to get here in below zero weather? No. But the Bible says whenever we make that kind of effort, there is always a blessing for us. God smiles when you open that back door and come into church. We have no concept of how important it is for us to gather ourselves all together. Turn to Acts 24, please. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 23. It says, "And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him." This is the governor Felix said, okay, you're in prison, but you can have some friends. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you." We're living in a time when people will kind of fit God in their convenience, a convenient season. Well, Felix never found a convenient season. When you're feeling the tug of God, it is the time to move forward with God. We don't serve God because it works into our schedule. In fact, I'm looking for more overtime this year with my employer, Jesus. He said he would increase my benefits and my salary if I had more overtime with him. And God isn't laying off people, no planned shutdowns with God, just increased benefits and more for his faithful. That's the way God always operates. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. He does not lie. What he wrote down is true. And if we put God first in our life, I'll tell you, you'll never be disappointed. Some things never change. God wants his people to be separated from the rest of the world in order to really worship, because if we don't separate ourselves from the world, if we don't go 3 days away so we can't smell what they're doing, see what they're doing, we're really not going to be able to concentrate on worshiping our God. And God wants us to hold a feast. Amen. He really does. The word feast here in the Hebrew means to observe a celebration or to be giddy before the Lord. Get a little excited about God. you know? Isn't that what we do? 3 days journey or three times a week, we leave Egypt and we get away for ourselves to worship our God. We know we can't completely worship in the midst of everything else that's going on in the world. You can't worship on the job. You can talk to God, but you really can't get giddy, you know? You really can't have a celebration unless somehow we come out from among them. So God is saying, let my people go to church where they can observe this celebration and we can have communion together. Why a 3-day journey? Because it is the number of resurrection. It's a number of life that comes to us. It will bring us out of the bondage of sin, bring us out of the indenture to what the world says we have to do to forget about our labors to Pharaoh and this world. It brings us back to life and energizes us in the spirit. You walk out of here after a service and you're thinking about the things that were said and the songs that we sung and what we felt. You know, you never know what God is going to do in any service. Sunday night, I had 4 pages of notes left, and people so rudely came right to the altar. But it's God's turn. It's God who controls everything here. But not if it takes a backseat to everything else in our lives. It brings us back to life and energizes us by the celebration. I have to get to church. You don't understand. I can't worship on the job. I have to get to church. You don't understand. This has been a bad day. I got to get to church. It takes a separation from all of the things that preoccupy us to the point where now we just have this one mind for God. Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh in verse 3, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us, let us go and pray thee 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. It seems that Moses knew that if people didn't have church or celebrate God, that things wouldn't go as well for them. And I really do believe that God does certain things for us because of our faithfulness. It's not always easy in order to celebrate God. I understand that. Any given time, there are people at different levels and different circumstances, and it's like the apothecary that blends the sweet with the bitter to the point where when it's ignited by the Holy Ghost, there is this sweet incense that comes up to God. It's not always easy. We'll be tired from making bricks all day. Headaches will come. A disagreement with the taskmaster. Not easy. Are you kidding? We got 3 days off and you want us to go 3 days into the desert when we've been working on bricks all the time? But God is still saying, let my people go. Pharaoh's answer was double shifts, more work, less pay. That's what the world is, folks. You know, 5 people have been laid off. We didn't replace them. We just put more work on the people that, because it's the bottom line we're looking at, that's what the world is doing to us. Exodus 5 and 7 says, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as theretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. What he's saying, okay, you want some days off? I'll tell you what. I'll take the extra laborers who are bringing straw for the bricks, and you do it yourself. There's going to be even more work. So how do you think God feels when you have a rough day or a rough week? You're tired from work and the pressures of life. You spend your last dollar in order to get here and put gas in your car. You decide to interrupt your schedule in order to come to God's house. Well, if we only knew what God felt when he saw you getting ready to come to church. I can't overemphasize that. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that You don't need to necessarily have much talents or much going for you, but faithfulness will keep you in the church. We come to honor God, to forget about the problems is what we do. When God created the human race, he didn't create it to mess up their lives with rules and regulations. When he created us, he had a party in mind, a celebration in mind. It's the whole purpose. He didn't just want a bunch of robots sitting on a pew, just standing up and sitting down. He wanted some kind of interaction. He wanted some intimacy with people. So even as Pentecostals filled with the Holy Ghost and having the liberty that we have, if we don't have that celebration, I'm talking about individuals who have celebration with God, well, you know what? We've missed the whole purpose for Calvary, because Calvary allowed us to get through the veil, to get into the holiest of holies and have this intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer a denominational church that says, okay, I was there, I did my duty, and now I can go on with life. God's saying, no, it's not enough. It's for whosoever will may come. God envisioned us in an upper room at creation. And he envisions us celebrating his presence every day. Amen. His intent was to share his glory, his majesty, his power, and his knowledge, that we could have revelation and we could rejoice in the revelation, not just the song service. Right. And that's what Jesus was telling us when he walked in the cool of the day with Adam. He said, I want to have fellowship. I just didn't create people in order to watch them. I created to walk with them, you see, every day. I believe that God wants to talk to each of us, not just the pastor, not just a few within the congregation, but I believe that he wants to have dialogue with each and every one of us, because it's a whole purpose for him dying on the cross. It is a celebration. It wasn't a cop coming to give a ticket, as some think. But it was a father coming to give hugs. Amen. I saw a book written by Brother Jeff Arnold when I was at conference a couple of years ago. It was entitled, Hell is Reserved for Idiots. Now, Brother Arnold's a little over the top, you know. But if you think about it, God wants to celebrate with you, but you're just not interested, too busy. God is trying to give you a brand new life, and he wants to wash away all of your mistakes, but you're not interested. God wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life by himself. And people saying, well, I'm really not interested. Maybe hell is reserved for idiots. Listen, God's going to have a party with or without us. He invites a whole bunch of people, but if you don't want to come, you're too busy, you've got more important things to do, well, that's up to you. But my God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will conversely, if you're not putting God first, if you're not putting God's righteousness first, what does it say? You can struggle, you can work and put all of what you make in a bag with a hole in it. That's what Hosea says. And it's frustrating. I'm not getting ahead. Why am I not getting ahead? Well, maybe your priorities are out of whack. Not yours, of course, because you're here. I'm preaching to all the people who aren't here right now. So God keeps asking people to come. Come. Come, come, come. He's sending out invitations, you know, every day by the millions to people. And the Jews were invited, but they refused. And he said, hey, you Gentiles, you want to come? Hallelujah. Isn't it maybe? When the Lord comes, two will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two in the bed, one will be taken, one left. Now, is he talking to a sinner and a saint? Or is he talking about somebody who made God a priority in their life and somebody who didn't. I don't know. There will always be people who will still get excited about coming to church. Church is supposed to be a celebration. Not every once in a while, you know, once a month at least, boy, we're going to have a blowout service. But why couldn't we have that every time we come to church? It's not God that's changed his mind. Some years ago, I preached the message, being desperate for God. And you know what? That's what it comes down to. How desperate are you for God? The alcoholic has to have the drink. The drug addict has to have the drugs. They'll do anything in order to get it. But we have to be conveniently. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. A man after God's own heart, the Bible says. The word glad means happy, cheerful, joyous. The people who celebrate the most are those who deep in their heart say, you know what? I don't have a right to be here. I don't belong here. Fact of the matter is, none of us belong here. None of us. And to think that God somehow chose me, and the Bible says in John 15, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained that you be fruitful. And to think that, you know, with all of the people around me, all of the people that I went to high school with or school, all of the people that I've associated with, you know, me? Are you kidding? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11, it says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us be merry. Every time someone walks into this place, every visitor that walks in this place, every time somebody comes back to this place, when somebody is hurt and walks into this place, there's a prodigal father who has his arms open and said, I'll tell you what, let's have a party. Let's celebrate. For this, my son was dead. And is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dad sing. There are some who just don't care for parties, I guess. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son, thy son, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. Verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry. It was right. And be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. God wants to have a celebration. The prodigal's son, well, this party was thrown for a son who many would think is unworthy. He didn't think he would be welcomed back by his father after riotous living and spending all that the father had given him. The only tragedy of the story is the older brother standing outside the porch. He wouldn't be a part of the party, even hearing all of the celebration that was going inside. I suspect that the father came out more than once in order to encourage him, why don't you come in? Come on, celebrate with us. But he was offended by his brother's mistakes and missed the celebration. Stayed in the foyer to talk with friends. I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm going to celebrate regardless of anything or anybody. I don't care who offends me. I don't care what their life has been, if it's been faithful or it's been unfaithful. My obligation is to celebrate, because that's the reason God saved me, is to celebrate. ...99% of the people can decide to stay away from the party. I'm not. Right. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. That's what David said. You know, I want to enjoy my salvation. To really know what condition we're in, we must get away from Egypt and its influence. Because we can be influenced by the things that are going around us all the time. We're living in the information age, and we have all of this stuff that's coming, and it's not preaching. It's things from the world. And we must get away from that influence and present ourselves before the Lord in celebration. We can't possibly know where we are at until it's time to worship, and then those who aren't doing well stand out like a sore thumb. You know, I can stand out based on what's happened to me during the week. But that's got nothing to do with my love and my relationship with God. Amen. You see, it shouldn't. Amen. Glory to God. No one shows the aging process in their faiths in 1 hour. Thank God. No one becomes disenchanted with their marriage in 1 week. Nobody loses their excitement for the church and God in 1 moment. It is a process that happens to us. But the more we get intimate with the God who saved us, you see, you don't care about the wrinkles in your face. You don't care the lack of hair on your head or the color thereof. You don't care about any of those other things because the fulfillment is in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If people like me, that's fine. If they don't like me, that's okay. As long as I know my hands are clean and my God loves me, that's the only thing that is necessary in order to be content and have fulfillment in our life. Amen. And that's where the fulfillment is. It starts with one service when we're not refreshed, but because we sat out of a celebration on the front porch, angry because somebody hurt our feelings, God tried to encourage us to join the party, but we were offended by something and stayed in Egypt. The purpose of the preaching is not to entertain and give enjoyment to people, although it can. Amen. But the real purpose of preaching is simply to make us aware of what is available from God. Here's what God will do for you. It's not a book report. Amen. It's something that is an instruction manual on what to do, you see, and possibly what has been lost. Preaching is to help us remember because life is busy and pressure is real in our lives, and we need to come back to where we started from. Many years ago, I worked in a metallurgical lab, and I was testing metals, but I had to run standards on all of the machines in order to make sure that they were running properly before we do any testing. And you know what? We have to have a standard for living for God. And this is a standard. It's not about people's opinions. It's about what do you really like, Jesus? Amen. And sometimes, unbeknownst to us, we can be heading in the wrong direction until finally we get the right compass to give us the right direction, or we can become something that we would never have wanted to become based on the influence of Egypt in our life. So we have to get the 3-day journey away from those things in order to realize the celebration that we have. And I understand we live in a fast-paced world, and we walk in here and we're still going on with the things that we did during the day, and it takes half the service before we can get to the place where we can really concentrate on God. That's why I recommend people coming early in order to talk to God and get their focus on God. The first 35 psalms in the book of Psalms were ascension psalms. They were singing those songs on the way to church, and by the time they got to church, they were ready to have church. I am so grateful for men like Brother Dixon and Brother Mundy who come early, and they're playing up here on the altar, and there's plenty of worship here long before we ever start the worship service, because there's a preparation for the celebration. Amen. It's not a matter of knocking on somebody's door and saying, where's the party? Is this the place? Well, it is, but you have to participate as well. And that's why God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And so what we need to do is reestablish that, you know what? We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate, well, I'm going to celebrate on Wednesdays and Sundays, but I'm going to celebrate on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. I want to get a hold of God. Because nothing will help you more than just getting in that feast mode. Amen. With our God. And there isn't anything that God loves more than a party. You know, religion just says you're not supposed to have a good time in church. You know, and I was a little shocked at that when I first came into Pentecost that, wow, these people are having a good time. You know, why shouldn't we? Enjoy in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.